honestly, sometimes I think the city's too big for the government.
So they're taxing people. It's just a regressive tax on the people.
This position, like, no one knows about it. Like, accountant, like, who cares? Like, auditor, like, oh, what is that? People thought I controlled, like, everything.
What about other proposals, like taxing people's second homes or, like, taxing a brunch spot that has a line longer than a block?
The thing right now about the Olympics is many people, especially like elected officials, don't know what's happening. And I think that's a huge concern.
Our first guest on Hot Button is known for his cute corgis and bringing receipts. Literally. Kenneth Mejia is LA City's controller, which means he deals with the budget up close and personal. And it's not pretty. And why what he calls radical transparency has made many in City Hall quite mad. And I thought you have another phone?
I have multiple.
The fuck?
I have a work government phone and then another. Yeah.
Did they give you a kick as a government phone? Yeah, that looks old.
It's a giant.
Okay.
Big phone.
Now, did you steal this corgi or is this?
It's mine. Yeah.
It's yours. Yeah. But you stole it.
Stole it. Yeah.
Stole
his heart. You know, he loves
me. So you've been a CPA, an auditor. You've worked with corporations, obviously big entities like Los Angeles. What I'm asking you mostly is, can you help me hide my money?
Probably not.
No? There's no, like, you can't take on side jobs as the controller?
I get asked that a lot. They ask me, like, voters will be like, I'll vote for you if you do my taxes. I'm like, oh, no, I can't do that. So, yeah, don't got that.
So as a CPA out in the world, it's like a doctor out in the world or a comic out in the world where they're like, tell me a joke.
Right.
Or can you look at this mole?
Right, exactly.
So for you, it's like, can you do my taxes? You are the controller for Los Angeles, city of Los Angeles. What does that mean?
Yeah, so I am the city's accountant and auditor and paymaster. So basically, I'm making sure that anything the city does, they spend or they receive, that you guys know where that money is or where it's coming from. In addition, as the auditor, I'm supposed to make sure that these tax dollars that we get and spend are being used for the right reasons. They're efficient and effective. And then the paymaster, just making sure that, you know, money gets out the door where we pay like vendors and payroll and employees, things like that.
When you were elected, Kenneth, you got more votes than any citywide official in the history of Los Angeles. What? How cute is your corgi that you put in those ads?
Yeah, I mean, those corgis like sealed the deal, because this position, like, no one knows about it. Like, accountant, like, who cares? Like, auditor, like, oh, what is that? People thought I controlled like everything. Like, oh, you're the controller.
The controller.
You control everything. And I was like, no, I just can, you know,
the weather, the planes.
Exactly. But we were able to make this position, you know, popular because it's like your tax dollars. And I guess previous, you know, people, you know, they did a good job, right? But we really brought it out to light. Like, what you can do with this position as controllers, really spotlight everything and then give people information, and then they can lobby the mayor and the city council to tell them, like, hey, I want my money to be spent here. And and just putting things out there, sounding the alarm, like, it's really like made a difference, I feel like. So that's why it's more popular.
And you then have an LA's homelessness dashboard that you created that shows how many homeless people there are in Los Angeles, the number of evictions, number of people who are permanently housed. And this last year, it's only a little bit over than 7,000 people who are permanently housed out of like 46,000 unhoused people.
Yeah, so not the 40,000. But I think where the issue, another issue, not only on the performance side, was the financial side. And that's where you see like these financial audits from outside external auditors. They came in, and I think from there, one of the big issues, because we were, you know, to build this website, we had to actually work with their finance people. And I think there is a lack of finance accounting staff there to actually do the reviews, to do the reconciliations between like invoices that they got from their service providers and payment requests, you know, asking the city to reimburse them, which is also another issue. They don't have enough people. And I think it goes back to what you said like 5 minutes ago, where you need to fund these people, you know. You need to fund the accountants. You need to fund the finance people who could actually help you put your books in order. Because if you don't, then your books can either, you know, be all messed up, which is, you know, what we're seeing here. And then you just lose trust with everybody, right? And that money ends up not going to the most vulnerable people.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, that's the one of the situations, the big situation that's happening now there is a lot of people are losing trust with whether it's the city or even Lhasa or even the county. And so that's why the county pulled out and they're doing their own thing.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see what happens.
But it adds to this like stigma, right? The stigma of, you know, well, why do we need homelessness services anyway? And everyone who's involved in it, they're all just kind of pocketing the money. And I think the right really like festers and feeds on these kinds of narratives because you, as you're saying, you look at the books and it's like they're not wrong that this money has been misspent or mishandled. But I'm just, you know, I want to ask you, you know, what do you think accounts for this discrepancy between the number of people who are permanently housed and the number of people who are still unhoused? Like, why is it only 7,000? And, you know, how could our money be better spent? And I know this is asking you to step out of controller, but like, how do you feel like our money could be better spent?
Now, even ask the controller, like, I think number one, there's not enough housing, whether it be shelter beds. You know, I think we need 3 times the amount in order to get people in interim housing. There are not enough permanent supportive housing, you know, and that's very difficult. That the end goal is to get people permanently housed. When it comes to the actual like building, that's like another complaint that we've seen as well. Like, well, why does it cost so much? Like, why is it $300,000 per unit or $500,000 per unit? Like, where are they living? Like, it's more than my, you know, and you just have to take a step back and like that's what you even see sometimes in the market, right? Like to buy an apartment. It's like in LA, it's like over $500,000 or like, you know, things like that, right? And so I think there it's just really expensive, right? It's really expensive. And we have to find ways in Los Angeles, especially if we're building, to see if there's red tape we can cut. But the reality is it's going to be a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And what people also don't understand too is when we try to provide services to people who are unhoused, it's not only like the case managers, but a big chunk of these costs where we pay service providers is security. Like, you know, you always hear people complain like, well, if you build a shelter in my backyard or in my neighborhood, like who's going to watch it? And then they hire security guards, right? And then you get the bill and then they're like, wait, why are we paying so much for this person? And it's like, oh, it's because half of it or a
you
third
were yapping
of it
about
is
it.
Security. Right. And only 20% is case management, right? So for me, it's just trying to like get people to realize how much things cost, and it is expensive.
Builders, so many like, you know, whatever, real estate barons are getting money to, and like tax breaks to have like low income or like, you know, mixed income units.
Right.
And they sort of, it's like a big handout to developers. Weigh in on that.
That is actually one of the city's strategies that's used the most, actually, to build more low-income housing.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of giving them like, you know, a loan, like taxpayer dollars, they're saying, hey, if you build, you know, 10% of your entire unit, your property to be low income, we'll let you build higher.
Right.
Or we'll let you have no parking. You don't need enough parking. Like some sort of incentive. And so
that's bullshit. Don't ever trade parking. How dare they?
So for them, the city uses it a lot. And they sign into these covenants, like with the property developer, manager, whatever, for like a good amount of time. I don't know, 50 plus years or something. And then once it's done, though, the scary part is that once it's over, they can then raise the rent for those low-income tenants who've been there like their whole life, and which is what you saw in Chinatown, which is what you're seeing across different, you know, affordable housing buildings.
So once this 50 years is up.
Yeah, whatever time the covenant period is up, like then they can go to market rate, right?
We've got covenants?
Yeah, that's what they call affordable housing covenants. And that's one of the largest and most successful strategies the city uses to get low-income units. The alternative is the city needs to have hundreds of millions of dollars to give free money, you know, to build social housing.
Yeah.
Or to build, just being here, like our deficit is, you know, we had a deficit. We don't have the money like the city.
Again, but we already talked about the killing. City, we just stop the killing and we get the $500 million, you know, dollars. It's easy.
It's they do have the mansion tax though. The Measure ULA.
Yes, the mansion tax.
They're going to use $300 million-ish to get some affordable housing units being built.
That's great.
So that's like, you know, a way in which they're actually giving money out. That's being funded by, you know, properties that are over like $5 million bucks. So that's another way as well to get the low-income units. So the city is trying to use many different strategies to get low-income units built. It's just that for them, it's much easier and faster if they gave incentives for these builders and stuff.
I know you're not a legislator, but like cost benefit analysis from what you've seen and what you know about money and numbers and like how bang for your buck, public safety, where do you put your money?